Go with me to the book of Psalms tonight. Amen. I do feel like God has given us something just to share with the church. I usually share some thoughts about Thanksgiving, usually during the midweek service, and I probably will. But I was kind of meditating this afternoon throughout the week here and felt to kind of share some thoughts about Thanksgiving. Nothing I'll share with you tonight might not be brand new to you, but I want it to be fresh. If you understand what I'm saying, it may not be new, but I want it to be fresh. Amen. You know, there's sometimes, you know, a preacher will get up here and he may not tell you nothing new. I could go to 1 Samuel 17, tell you about David and Goliath. You know, there's not a whole lot of new stuff I can tell you there, but I want God to freshen it up in your spirit. Amen. We need things to be fresh to us. How many knows we need things to be fresh to us? We allow things to get stale pretty easy. Amen. My Holly's stepfather there, Bob, is a bread man, and he has a bread route. And not only does he put out new bread, but guess what he does with the old bread? He says, take it off the shelf. Amen. And because freshness is important. It really is. And I trust today, I know just personally, like I said, individual dealings of the Holy Ghost. I want to stay fresh. Amen. I want to have a fresh word, a fresh anointing, a fresh experience. I want to be up to date on everything that God wants for us. Amen. And I encourage you, I believe you do as well. But Psalms chapter 100, and I'm just going to share some thoughts with you here. And you know this, you know these words, you know these verses here, and I'm just going to read these five verses to you, and we will eventually go over them. Amen. But I want to talk to you tonight, and I think I may have shared some of the thoughts here before as far as like what the title is, but I want to share with you on thanksgiving and thanksfilling. Thanksgiving and thanksfilling. Amen. And we're going to explain that here in just a moment, if God will help us. Amen. But here it goes, Psalms chapter 100, it says this. And I wanted to share this with you. This is also, when you read behind a lot of writers, they called this the Pilgrim Psalm. Because the early pilgrims, when they came over here, loved this psalm. It was found in a lot of their, they quoted it a lot, they wrote it down a lot, different things. So I've always liked it as well. And it says this, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with what? Gladness. Amen. I mean, as you can serve Him with gladness. Amen. You ain't going to be sad all the time. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. So today when we look at this tonight, I want to talk to you about what thanksfilling is, what thanksgiving is. And we know in America that it is a thing that we often do. And you know, you can read about in 1620, you read about the pilgrims, and you can read throughout the Continental Congress and how they proclaimed a day of national thanksgiving in 1777, about George Washington, about Abraham Lincoln. And there is a history to why we celebrate Thanksgiving here in America. But there's also some interesting things in this. Before the 1600s, before 1620, as a Christian, your Thanksgiving goes back way further than that. I mean, knows that. Amen. It goes all the way back to a place called Golgotha, where Jesus died on a tree. And from that moment on, and even before then, there was plenty of things to be thankful about. Amen. So I'm telling you tonight, brothers and sisters, as we move into this, Thanksgiving, it ought to be something that is fresh to us. Amen. We ought to be a thankful people. How many knows that? We need to be a thankful people. And I know that you know that, and we preach about that, and we talk about it, and we read about it in the Bible. But if we are not careful, during the holiday season, Thanksgiving can be an ordeal. We travel, we wear ourselves out cooking, we eat too much, then we complain about being full. And sometimes if you ain't careful, you get tired. I bet some people get a little grumpy around Thanksgiving. I hope that ain't the case. But what I'm saying is, yes, it is nice to have all these family things together. We come together, but remember all the things that we have to be thankful for. We must remember that by having food in your refrigerator, clothes on our back, and a roof over our heads, and a place to sleep, makes us richer than 75% of the rest of the world. Amen. You hear that? Just because you have the basic necessities of life, it makes you richer than 75% of those in this world. The Bible gives us many reasons to be thankful and reminds us to focus on the giver instead of the gifts. We need to be thankful here, even at Thanksgiving. You know, it is comical here in America. Sometimes the traditions, and I'm not against all traditions. You know, I'm not against Christmas trees and Christmas lights and the turkey. I enjoy all that. I think it's festive. I think it's enjoyable. I think it represents Jesus Christ. But do you not find it amazing sometimes that Thanksgiving and Christmas become some of the most stressful times in people's lives? I mean, it will wear you. I've told my wife before, if you ain't careful, you can weary yourself with overdoing it and doing too much. You ever thought about, here it is on Thursday, we'll have Thanksgiving, and then we'll have what is called Black Friday, where everybody go out and fight to get new things? Now, I'm not against you going out Black Friday. You know, I know the women enjoy getting out. And that's fine with me. I promise you. I ain't preaching against that. But we've got to make sure that we are thankful people. Now they have Cyber Monday, where you can just get it right off the internet. The same prices and the same deals, if I'm not mistaken. This was one man's perspective. And this has always stuck out with me. And I'll read it around Thanksgiving. He says this. He said, for the clothes that fit a little too snug, because it means, he said, these are things we ought to be thankful for. Let me say that. He said, you ought to be thankful for the clothes that fit a little too snug, because it means I have enough to eat. One way to look at it, ain't it? It goes on to say this, for all the complaining I hear about the government, because it means I have freedom of speech. It goes on to say this, for the alarm that goes off early in the morning hours, because this means I'm alive. Amen. Man, when's the last time you thank God for that alarm clock going off? Lord help us all. Amen. For the teenager who's not doing dishes but is in their room, because that means they're not on the streets. You can still make them do the dishes. I won't try to get them out of that. Amen. It goes on to say, for the taxes that I pay, because it means I'm employed. Thank the Lord for the taxes. Whew. I haven't thought about that. Amen. For the lawn that needs mowing, and windows that need cleaning, and gutters that need fixing, because it means that I have a home. For the weariness at the end of the day, because it means I've been capable of hard work. For the parking spot I find at the far end of the parking lot, because it means I am capable of walking, and I've been blessed with transportation. You can be thankful about anything, can't you? We can be thankful. So today, when we look at this word thanksgiving, I want to throw this word in there as well. Thanksgiving. Now and then it needs to be said that not all thanksgiving is thanksgiving, and I will clarify that. Now, I would notice this. I do it with Chloe, and it's one of those things that she's young. We do this now, but we can make ourselves or our children say thank you at times, whether they feel it or not. I got right now with Chloe. She don't understand the concept of, you know, I'm trying to help her understand, you know, go say thank you. There's sometimes you go, thank you, and walks off. You can tell I didn't ever register so she's being thankful for. You know, I'm making her do that. I'm training her. That's all right. And even at times, if we're not careful, we can say thank you without even knowing what we're saying. But it's not a good habit, especially in relation to God. Jesus warns us against vain worship. He says, people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me. Thanksgiving without thanksfeeling is empty. It does not count with God. What I mean is this, when we are thankful to God, mean it from your heart. Don't do it because it's just something you rehearse day after day, week after week, year after year. But really, really be thankful. And when you are thankful, feel it in your spirit. There's something, I often say this, there is like a heightened sensitivity. It seems to be around the holidays. You know, it causes you to look at your family. It causes you to look at your house. You begin to take inventory. And inside of me seems to well up this thankfulness, because I know that God has just been that good to me. It is an act of the heart. Genuine thankfulness is an act of the heart's affections and not an act of just your lip muscles. It is something that must come from the very bottom of your heart. It is not willed but awakened. It is not a decision of the will but a reflex of the heart. It happens to us when we become aware of the goodwill towards us, and either we feel gratitude or we are ungrateful. Tonight in this room, you either have gratitude or you are ungrateful, and you need to figure out which category you're in. I want to be grateful, don't you? Amen. How would we be thankful for all the good things that God has done for us and all the great things that He does for us? Now, being reminded to give thanks is very biblical. I want to say that today. It is very biblical. In the book of Psalms alone, we are reminded nearly 50 times to give thanks. The New Testament also nearly reminds us 50 times, including the all-inclusive thing. It says, give thanks in all things, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. We know that we are admonished time and time again that we are to be thankful in all things. In all things. You know, I found myself this week reevaluating my thankfulness. We go see family and we enjoy that. But you know, they ain't no house too big when you're seeing family. After 2 days, you know, it's good. 3 days, it's all right. 4 days, I'm ready to go home. But you find yourself looking around as well. And so I remember years ago, I wasn't married to Holly. Years ago, I didn't have a daughter that they would call a granddaughter. A lot of things we didn't have. I wasn't pastoring a church. There were certain things I didn't have. Certain things I wasn't there yet. But I look around and I feel as even as I pray today, and Lord, help me to be more thankful, that I need to be thankful in all things, in comfort and discomfort. No matter what the situation, you need to be thankful. I read the story, this illustration years ago. It was put into one of the illustrated books there by the Moody Press. This man here, his name was Allen, and he was at the Moody Bible Institute. He was leaving Mobile, Alabama by a Greyhound bus that morning. It was an all-day trip. It was one of those hot and humid summer days, and it was back before there was air conditioning on the buses. The man arrived at the bus station at a good time. He secured himself by a seat by the window, and he looked out the window. He said, "Thank you, Lord." He said, "It's a nice, hot, humid day." He said, "I'm sitting here by this window. Man, it feels good." He said, "Everybody began getting on the bus." Then he said, "It began to fill up." He said, and that seat beside him was wide open. And he said, begin to say to himself, "Thank you, Lord." He said, "I can stretch my legs out. I can feel the wind." He said, "I can kick on back on this hot, humid day." He said, the bus driver shut the door of the bus. He said, you can tell. He fired the engine up. He was about to leave. He said, "Thank you, Lord. Nobody's sitting beside me." About that time came a knock on the bus door. He said, in walked, and I'm just going to quote what he says. He said, in walked one of the biggest women he's ever seen in his life, is what he said. I'm just reading to you verbatim, all right? I ain't being mean. Dragging a kid behind her. He said, she was sweating, and the kid was crying. He said, and guess exactly where she sat down. Right beside him. He said, she didn't leave an inch of room. He's sitting there. He said, it's hot. He said, and she'd been walking. She's hot. He said, it made me hot. He said, he's sitting there. He said, the kid's flopping and kicking him and slapping him. He said, he's sitting there thinking to himself, mercy, I wish this woman could get a hold of this kid. She started whipping the kid. He started kicking more and screaming more. And he said, he sat there and thought to himself, he said, Lord, what's going on? This is horrible. He said, all of a sudden, he said, she pulls out a cigarette. He said, begins to chain smoke one after another. He said, the kid falls asleep. Then she falls asleep and begins to snore. He said, he's sitting there. He said, she begins to lean over on him. The kid's asleep. He said, cigarette hanging out of her mouth. And he said, Lord, he said, this couldn't be the, he said, this is the worst bus trip ever. He said, is there anything in this situation that I could be thankful for? He said, he thought about it. He said, well, I could be married to her. Comical, yes. But what I'm saying is you can give God and thanks on all things. Amen. I look today, as we move into this psalm real quick, I don't want to bore you tonight by no means, but I want to share this with you just real quick today, that when we look to this psalm, there's some instruction here that is amazing. So occasionally when someone has done something special for us, we find ourselves asking, what can I do for you to show my appreciation? It is a valid question and not always an easy one to answer. But think, if it's hard to answer the question to do somebody to return a favor to somebody that is a human, how much harder is it to return the favor to God when He don't need anything? You ever thought about that before? Sometimes we return a favor to somebody with Brother Adam, you can just take him out to eat. He's happy. He likes a steak. He will work for food. I promise you. Amen. If you need something done, he used to be a plumber, he'll work for food. I'll give him a hard time. What I'm saying is this, you know, there's things we do for each other. You know, you come help me out, I'll do something to help you out. You know, if you come help me out, you know, here's a little bit of money. You come help me out, I'll take you out to eat. You come help me out, I'll cook you a meal. You see what I'm saying? We return the favor. But when it comes to God, He has done so much for us, how should we show appreciation to God? We cannot thank God by giving Him something. He needs nothing from us. What can we do? And the opening verses here suggest three things to us that I believe we can do in appreciation and praise to God. Number one, I'm going to explain and clarify this. Number one, we can shout. Amen? I'm going to clarify. It says this, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. We can shout. Now that seems to be a strange place to begin, particularly since the psalm envisions the people of God giving thanks together in God's house. Is that really what we ought to do? Is shout and make a vocal appreciation to God? Is it helpful to know that the Hebrew word originally meant glad shout, such as loyal subjects might utter when a king appears? It literally means we should shout unto the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, God. That's what it means. I didn't make that up. He put it in there. Amen. We can shout is what it's talking about. That should be clear from the first two verses. Since the idea of joy appears there three times, it talks about joy, it talks about gladness, it talks about joyful, and still the text does say shout. It should be accurate to express the idea of saying this: when we are happy, we can be happy to God. That doesn't mean you're loud as somebody beside you, but we believe we can worship God, verbally worship God, because that's one way we return the favor to Him. Worshiping Him. Amen. Now it's amazing. Charles Spurgeon said this: our happy God should be worshipped by happy people. A cheerful spirit is in keeping with His nature, His acts in gratitude, which we should cherish for His mercies. He's saying this: our happy God ought to have a happy people. Amen. This world shouldn't be happier than you. I mean that. You ever know sometimes people out there seem so joyous and short-lived? But as a believer, you can have joy. Not only are we to shout, but number two tonight, get this in your mind. We can serve. That's one way to get back to God as well. He says, worship the Lord with gladness. Serve the Lord with gladness. It literally means serve there. The psalm suggests that we serve God by our worship. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. You understand this today? We thank God by doing His will, working for Him, serving Him, doing what He wants us to do. If you want to give back to God, number one, you can shout and worship Him. Number two, you can serve Him by reaching out to the lost, by doing something for somebody. You can shout and you can serve, and that's all given back to God here at Thanksgiving. Not thanks receiving. Did you get that? It's not thanks receiving. It's thanksgiving. It's giving back to Him. Number three tonight, we can understand this in verse 2. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. So notice that when it says serve the Lord with gladness, that means this: that I, Derek Jones, can serve the Lord and be glad. You understand that? There's some people who don't look too glad to serve the Lord. And I've met 100 or 200 of them. I'm just kidding. 1 or 2 of them. Brother Jimmy Jones, not the murderer, but Jimmy Jones, which is an evangelist, he actually said something one time which was amazing. He said one time his son had actually, he had raised his son in church. His son got out of church. His son went to college, got away from the Lord, and got a drug charge and all these things. And he said, man, it wore down on him and his wife. He said he would get down to pray, and he said he would weep and cry and see, try to figure out what he did wrong. And he's a Church of God state evangelist, and I believe he still may be, I'm not sure. And here it is. He said one day he got down to pray and once again began to bemoan unto the Lord. And he said all of a sudden the Lord highlighted that phrase to him: serve the Lord with gladness. That word there means to shout. It means to embrace our God with gladness, to serve Him with gladness. He said he came to this conclusion. He said, I cannot sit here in the mully grubs and serve the Lord with gladness. He said, look, yes, my son is lost. Yes, he's not in church, but I still got to serve the Lord with gladness. Regardless, I'm putting it in God's hands. Brothers and sisters, you need to serve God with gladness. You can serve Him with gladness. And the reason is, there's a supernatural joy that comes from God. Serve the Lord with gladness. Verse 3 lets us know this. It says,
Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. So again, as we move into this, why should we be thankful? So we ask, what is God? And what should we know about God? Verse 3 gives us two answers. Number 1, He is our Creator. And number 2, He is our Redeemer. It says this. Notice what it says. It says, know ye the Lord, He is God, and He hath made us. You can rejoice. You can be thankful. And you are a gift to God. Number 1, He is simply, I know this is elementary, but you need to get it in your spirit. He has made you. He has made you. You are not here because of some chance. You are not here because of evolution. You are here because there was a wise God, a good God, a comforting God, a loving God. He created you in His image, and that's something to be thankful for and to rejoice about. I don't know what the atheists get excited about. I don't know what they're saying. Who do they think? I wonder what they sing at Christmas. You ever thought about it? What would they sing about? They've got nothing. Everything's by chance. They don't know where they came from, and they certainly don't know where they're going. Oh, a lot to be thankful for, huh? I'm just a happen chance. I just showed up. I'm here. I ain't got no significance. I ain't got no purpose. I'm just going to live life the way I want to. No, I'm glad to know when He created me, His creation has purpose. And that purpose drives me. And that purpose is this, that I'm going to serve Him. I'm going to worship Him. I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, we have something to give thanks for today. We've been created in His image with a design, with a purpose. The world don't understand that. We've got something to rejoice about. Thank God He created us. He hath made us, and not we ourselves. Amen. That's just simple, isn't it? You know, the book of Psalms, the smarter. I'd be able to put that in the college textbook. Come on. Don't you wish they put Genesis chapter 1 in there and save them a lot of money and time? Come on. Don't you wish they do that? Don't you wish they would just put a Bible there and figure out, man, what is this? How can we figure out what the answer is to life? I'll tell you what it is. God has created us. But friends, not only is He our Creator, which happens to be an amazing thing, but knowing this also, God is our Redeemer. Notice what He says here. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Knowing God as a Redeemer, even more important than knowing God as Creator, is knowing Him as a Redeemer, which is the words. We notice that He says His people, the sheep of His pasture. So this refers to that. We are God's. We are His redeemed. That's something to be thankful for. Amen. It's good to be alive. But it's good to be saved. Amen. You can't separate the two. And she calls you to be very thankful here tonight. Notice again, there's an invitation to thank God. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving. Enter into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. The third part of the psalm is an invitation to thank God. And once again, there are these strong imperatives. Enter, give thanks, and praise. I want you to get those phrases in your mind. This isn't deep, and this isn't hard to understand. He says, I want you to enter, I want you to give thanks, and I want you to praise. We have a main entrance. Amen. And then we have the double doors. And you'll see me and the deacons there usually. You know we're there. We're going to shake hands. And those that stand at the door and shake hands. And we say, hey, how you doing? But you know what? When you get through those doors, you're not here to talk to each other. We do talk to each other. Don't get that wrong. I ain't telling you not to talk to each other. There's times before service and after service where we do a little talking. But during service, guess what we're here for? To give thanks. To praise. To worship. Amen. That's not self-centered. He says, enter, give thanks, and I want you to praise. Now, this is amazing. It goes on in verse 5. He says this, and I'm not going to be extremely long tonight. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generations. So the final verse of the Psalms, like verse 3, explains why you and I should thank God. But it's not just a repetition of words. The third verse said that we should thank God because we are what He has done. He has both made us and remade us. We understand that He's made us and He's remade us. That is, He is both Creator and Redeemer. But the final verse invites us to thank God because of who He is and tells us three things about Him. So number 1, a minute ago there in verse 3, He invites us to thank God because He created us, He made us, we're born again, He remade us. But then He gives us some facts about God that we are to rejoice about. Number 1, I hope I can pronounce this word. You're going to be merciful with me? God is good. Wow. You don't have to look it up. There's no tense there in the Hebrew that I've got to try to say, I wonder what that means. I know what it means. God is what? And He's good when? All the time. He's just simply good. You know, you ever had somebody that they just have a good child? And I can't say I'm trying to help Chloe be a good child. You can't do that without the rod of correction. I know that. But I've met some people, there's just some kids that are just good natured. What I mean by that is you ain't got to get them all the time. They said, they're just good all the time. They're just good children. They're just a good person. Amen. And you know what? We mean that to a certain extent, but nobody fully embodies that. You're only good as your ability. I can only be good to you, but it's limited. Everything. But you know what? When it says God is good to us, I mean, He takes that word, He embodies that word, He exalts that word. He is good in every sense and every tense. There's nothing about Him that is bad. Everything about Him is good. He doesn't have a bad day. He always has a good day. Amen. He doesn't have a bad night. He always has a good night. That's God. Everything about Him is good. Inside of Him, there's no evil. There's no shadow of turning. Everything about good, everything about God is good. And He sends good gifts to His children. Thank God that He's good to us. You ever have a bad day? You ever have a bad night? Come on, how many ever tosses and turns a little bit at nighttime? Man, that's a few hands went up. I won't be the only one. Yours truly. You know, every now and then I have a night, I say, I just couldn't get to sleep. What I'm saying is, everything's not always good in this world. Come on. You ever bought a vehicle, you said, you know, it's a good vehicle until it breaks down. Man, that's been a good refrigerator until it breaks down. Everything's good, but it has a limit. It has an expiration date. It cannot always embody that. But God, we can look at God. We know He's good yesterday. We know He's good today. And we know He's going to be good tomorrow and forever. God is so good that He exalts goodness. He is everything about Him is good. Everything about Him is good. The gods of the heathen of that day were not good. The drug addict cannot tell you that drug is good to them. Come on. Hollywood's not good. Man, I hope nobody got offended at that. If not, you ain't holiness. Amen. Hollywood ain't good. They're perverts. Come on. They're evil. You know, and they're trying to make something good every now and then. And that's not even good. How many knows that, you know, look, how many knows those that are most of the athletes? Maybe I'll have a conversation with them to make them good people if they ain't born again. Oh, man. Let me just throw this in here. I know this is completely off topic. Do you know the way that we describe sinners sometimes and the way the Bible describes sinners are two different? We use different language. And I know that hurts us sometimes because we got family that's lost. You know what I mean? And there is a way I believe God's prevenient grace can work on the good of behalf of people. I know that. But you know, the Bible looks at people who are lost and don't look at them and say, oh, they're just good folks. They're lost. They need a shepherd. They need to be born again. They're blind. It says they're like dogs that turn to their vomit. It uses all negative things. And when we look at this world, there's a lot of things around us that's not good. But we can tell a world that's not good that we serve a good God. Your heathen gods are not good, but our God is good. That was the message of Paul's day when he went there and preached among the heathen world and let them know there's an unknown God that is good and good all the time. You ain't got to worry about Him one day turning His back on you. You ain't got to try to make a sacrifice of some sort in this, in a phrase, when you have to try to appease His anger. There was a sacrifice made. His name was Jesus, and He's good all the time. God is good. We understand, and I'm not going to get too far into this, but when you read about false gods, they're evil. They're moody. They're mad today, sad tomorrow. Amen. You don't know what they're doing. They're up and down. But when we look at God, He is consistently good. Amen. You can find a good person even in this church and say they're consistently good. And that's true. I believe you can live that. But guess what? Even in their consistent goodness, they can let you down. Do you know that? Man, human beings are unpredictable. Apart from Jesus. Amen. I believe in Christ you can predict people. Amen. There's certain men you tell me about. You try to bring up a lie on them. I know them well enough. I would have to be like Thomas. I would have to see it to believe. Because people can be good. But understand this. The heathen gods of the Old Testament, they were evil. But our God is good. That's why the Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in Him. Taste and see He is good. How many's going to eat some turkey this week? I'm ready. I'm excited. I'm ready to get that turkey. I'm going to put that turkey fryer in that backyard. I'm going to get that vegetable oil about 300 degrees. I'm going to fry it at 4 minutes a pound or till it's ready. I'm going to take it inside. It's going to have Cajun seasoning on it. We're going to inject it with butter. Oh yeah, we are. You know what we're going to do when we have it on the plate? You're going to take it in your hand. Forget the fork. It's Thanksgiving. It's turkey. You're going to take it in your hand. Maybe use a fork. You're a little more, I guess, civilized than I am. You're going to bite that turkey. You're going to taste and see that it is good. And I hope it's good now. That's prophetic. Amen. I hope it ain't tough and I hope it ain't dry. But you actually have to take that turkey and do what? Put it in your mouth. Chew it. Use your taste buds in order to taste that it is good. You know, sometimes how goofy would it look if you walked around when serving the Lord with your mouth open and said, God, I'm waiting for you. Let me taste and see that you're good. If you're going to taste, you have to take it and eat. A lot of people walk around and say, God, taste and see the Lord is good, but they never partake of Him. They never pray. They never read. And not just ritual, I'm talking about, you can take that Bible and you can taste and see the Lord is good. The Bible says it's as sweetness in your mouth, as a honeycomb. You can taste and see that the Lord is good. Then it goes on to say this, now that we know that God loves, He is merciful. It goes on to say, His mercy is everlasting. His truth endures to all generations. So we know this today, He endures forever. Once again, forever is how long? Give me an expiration date. It don't exist. Amen. He ain't that gallon of milk in that refrigerator. That milk will go bad on you. You can taste it, see it's good tomorrow. I can't promise you next month about anything about that same gallon. But I can promise you this about God. He's good forever. Amen. We also understand that God is faithful. We live in a world of change. And not only in a world changing, we even understand in this world of changing, even the changes in the world are changing. I don't know how to make sense of that, but this, everything's always changing. You ever notice how I was telling the teenagers this morning, you know, they've labeled us as consumers. Wow, what a wonderful name. I'm a consumer. Don't you feel accomplished? No, I'm born again. I said, tell you what they think of you. Oh, what about our consumers? About getting you to buy something else. Trying to get you to put it on this celebrity so you'll buy it. Put it on this athlete, he'll buy it. Put it on this commercial, they'll buy it. We end up becoming consumers. Can't wait for the new fad or the new idea. But notice this, God is never changing. He is good all the time. Change is happening faster and faster. Paces all through the years all around us. But God will never, ever, ever change. He is good today. Just as good as He was for our fathers and mothers. As He was good for Paul and Mary and Joseph. And David, indeed for all the patriarchs of faith back in the Bible. But guess what? He's good today. He's going to be good for Chloe, my daughter. Good for Braxton, my son. He will always be good. And I can put that in them, that God will always be good and faithful. Amen. God is faithful. I'm not going to be much longer. I'm about to close. But if you found Him to be faithful, I tell you, it ignites my spirit because there's not a lot of faithful things in this world. Yes. Look, you know that stock market? It's faithful today. I mean, I don't know if it is or not, to be honest with you. Daddy put $5,000 in years ago and lost it. And he's had a bitter taste ever since. But he found out it wasn't faithful. Amen. Knew somebody that knew somebody that started a company. Then we knew somebody that failed a company. What I'm saying is this, you can't depend on this. You know, I think we're all, in a sense, optimistic that, you know, things are going to get better for us. I hope so. You know, we all wish that. But reality is this, the only thing that we can have faith in that's never changing, will always be faithful, is nothing in this world. I can't have faith in America. I can, in a sense. I have faith in our soldiers. I have faith in men that sacrifice. You can have faith, but it's limited. Because you don't know about the future. But I know about the future with God. Amen. He is faithful. As we close tonight, I just simply want you to have not only thanksgiving, but thanksfilling. What I mean by that is, I want you to feel that thankfulness in your heart. As my second closing, third closing, whatever you want to call it. I always say that. Sometimes there's preacher habits. I'm about to close. I really am, I promise. But that may be 5 minutes from now. Some of the thoughts up here. I think one of the greatest things you can do, doesn't mean that you have to do it, but if you ever get an opportunity and you go on a mission field, you really begin to understand how good we have it here. I mean that with all my heart. Me and my wife, and I probably exhausted your ears with that, but staying there on an orphanage with 30 orphans, maybe more, less, a few more here or there, and know that the orphans are there, they don't have a mama and they don't have a daddy. They don't know what it is to eat a turkey on... What is turkey on Thanksgiving to them? Matter of fact, they don't have a clue what you're talking. They know what Christmas is. But they don't know what Thanksgiving is. I remember explaining to Moses one day, one of the orphans, and he ended up becoming a worker there. And I would take him out to eat. And we'd go down to... What was that place that called? The Union Cafe or something, where they had some... They had these little pizzas they put in the oven. It wasn't delicious pizza, but it was delicious over there. Man, had good cups of coffee, I tell you that. Wonderful coffee. And I began to talk to Moses, and I said, man, I began to tell you, he said, what's America like? He said, I want to go to America. I said, America's, America. I said, what do you want to know? He said, what about restaurants? So we have restaurants. And I said, we have burgers? He said, yeah, and they have little places over there that give an effort at making a burger. It ain't a burger. I don't know what it is. I had a man tell me one time, I said, put cheese on that, please. He said, that's impossible. I said, do you have a burger? Yeah. Do you have cheese? What's the problem? I said, you take the cheese, you put it on the burger. He said, okay, I understand. Never heard of that before. That's a cheeseburger. He said, okay. We get to tell him, I said, we have restaurants that you don't even have to get out your car. You have a drive-thru. He said, no. I said, you just pull up. So you talk to them, you go around, they pass you food, and you give them, he said, that, no way, that's crazy. He never heard of it. I said, let me tell you about the buffet. He said, what's that? I said, it's like a little, like a big table. It's all you can eat. No. I said, yes. But more than any of that, I said, I'll tell you this, as a church member, I said, here in Africa or in America, you've got a lot to be thankful for. You may not have buffets, and I can't say they're good for us. Can't say they've ever been good for us. Amen. But I told them this, there's one common thread from Africa to here. We can have this common unison in this. God is faithful. God is good. We've got so much to be thankful for. We have got so much to be thankful for. How many in America, how many's ever gotten a loan before? I hope I ain't the only one. Man, all y'all pay cash for everything. You are great. You are so great. You're going to give a Dave Ramsey display here so soon. You and Dave Ramsey. But I told him over there, what if you want a car? I said, you go to the bank, and if you have some established credit, I said, you go there and they give you money and you pay it back to them. They said, no. Only those that were a little older knew what I was talking about. The kids didn't think it was possible. You go somewhere, they give you money, you get a car. Over there, if you get a car, you pay for it cash. That's why a lot of them don't get cars till they're 40 years old. I remember Pastor Comey was able to buy him a car for the first time. He fell on his knees in the dirt and screamed out, thank you. Thank you. No, it was a moped. It was a motorcycle. He screamed out to God. He'd never owned a motorcycle. Rode a bicycle his whole life. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I watched at the orphanage. They let some of the 18-year-olds still live there. I watched at the orphanage some mornings at 6 o'clock. Kids over there don't sleep. They get up at 6 in the morning. I mean, it blows my mind. They don't know what sleeping is. You wake up when the sun's up. It's just what they do. And I watched one day, I think his name was Amados and Emmanuel. They would walk for miles. I think probably walk maybe about an hour and a half or 2 hours, all the way down to the mechanic shop. And they would work the first 4 years of their life for free. I was like, you don't, and I asked them, I said, where are you working at? They said, we're not working. You know, we go up here and we volunteer. What are you doing that for? He said, that's our college. He said, that's the only way we'll learn anything. You have to work for free to learn. And they were blessed with a place to stay, that they could eat a meal a day and go down there and learn. Here in America, are we not blessed? We're so blessed. Come on. We are so blessed. I could tell you story after story. Be able to put food on the table. Be able to feed your wife and children, your husband. Be able to take care of the elders. You know, it's a blessing. I want to be thankful, don't you? I want to be thankful. Tonight, if you would stand to your feet. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. And I'm going to keep it simple. This is not, I understand, this is nothing that's new. I hadn't shared a whole lot of new information with you. But I just, moving into the Thanksgiving week, like I said, I'm sure I may talk about it a little bit on Tuesday maybe. I'm not sure, I'm still praying. But I wanted to charge you as a congregation. Let's really, really, really be thankful this year. And I know you, I'm not like I'm looking at a bunch of heathens that don't, I know you believe in being thankful. But really to mean it from the bottom of your heart. Hey man, how many's got food on their table? Well, you can put it on your table. I look down in a full plate several times throughout the week. There's some people who don't have. How about that roof over your head? You know, aren't you thankful? Because my wife makes her way to the piano tonight. And I want her to get that song together. I know it's simple, but thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. I want to sing that tonight in closing. When I was younger, my mom sang that my whole life. That was a song, you know, we would have specials in churches. And when I was younger, I think she would even sing it a cappella because somebody couldn't play on the piano. So, as Brother Silvers called it, she sang it acapoco. Amen. Sang it with no music. But Lord, I want to be thankful. Simply having shoes on your feet. Isn't that something? I want to be thankful. Amen. Right now, out your heart, can you just tell the Lord thank you? Not in a selfish way, but God, you honestly have provided for us. Tonight we are thankful, Lord, for the basic necessities of life. We thank you for it. And God, we don't want to be spoiled, so to speak, where we don't think about it. But many of us here in this room, we've got so many good things. But we know that's because you're a good God. You've created us. You've redeemed us. And we thank you for it. All your blessings, we could count them. We would lose count, but we thank you. We thank you. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, I want to have that thanks feeling too, Lord. I don't want to just rehearse words, but God, I feel it out of my heart. Holy Ghost, I do, I do. As I hold that little girl in my arms every day, I'm thankful. God, as my wife has had a healthy pregnancy so far, I'm thankful. Only you today, church, know what all that God's done for you. Be thankful. Be thankful. Health in your body. Another day with your family. I want to be thankful. Amen. Amen. Let's sing this out of our heart just for a few moments. We'll take it.